Happy holidays and happy new year, everyone. Today, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations we've had this last year in regards to the Delphi murder case and the charges against Richard Allen.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brewski.
Featuring former federal prosecutor and president of West Coast Trial Lawyers, Nima Ramani.
The Delphi murder case, something that we've, of course, been following here for quite some time. It gets stranger by the day. Richard Allen set to appear in court in Fort Wayne later in the month, in just a few days, actually, as they start to take a look at some of the evidence in the case that the judge wants to discuss. She's being a little elusive about it, though, not very specific on what she wants to discuss. Joining us to discuss what we don't know, what the judge wants to discuss, is Nima Ramani. Nima, I mean, I would guess we're going to be talking about Odinism in court coming up on the 19th. Where do you think the judge wants to go with that, with all the fantastical claims that are out there on this?
Well, hopefully the judge just nips this in the bud. Again, like I said, obviously, you know, I have a kind of pro-prosecution slant, but in their response to the defense filing, you know, they've said, listen, you know, there were some patches at issue on these prison guards, but, you know, that maybe loosely affiliated with Odinism, but none of them are Odinists. None of the small handful of prisoners housed in the same facility as Allen or anywhere near him have any contact, you know, that have any contact with them are members of this Odinistic cult. So, I mean, hopefully, like I said, the judge kind of focuses on the case and the evidence against Allen and not all these sort of tangential side issues. Look, the defense can do what it wants. I mean, they can argue this to the jury. That's on them. But I don't think this is an issue for a pretrial motion. It's not really appropriate here.
But we know the defense wants to have a Franks hearing on yes, I'm sure they want to tackle some of the fantastical things in this. But at the same point, I think they're really trying to get to the bottom of some of the pieces of evidence that have come out the way that they have, and to really see if there is some sort of, you know, things going on here behind the scenes, especially with the actual sheriff himself not going down the road of exploring some of these claims early on, even when they had a chance to talk to an expert on Odinism, if you will, saying that, yes, some of these things do look like they could be ruins. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it is, or that someone was having sacrificial rituals there. But the fact that it wasn't ever even explored, they went to ask the question, they got their answer, they seemed to not like their answer, and they just went down another path. Is there some grounds there for them to argue this in court? Probably not to dismiss the charges by any means, but at least to take a look if there was some sort of misconduct on the part of law enforcement with, in fact, the Franks hearing, which is exactly what that's for.
Well, I think you're talking about separate issues, right? You know, one, you're talking about sort of a separate, you know, someone else did it, right? So if you're really kind of just parsing this out from a legal perspective, right, a Franks hearing is when, you know, there's, you know, misstatements or misconduct in support of a search warrant, you know, and really the burden's on the prosecution not to disprove the Odinism, but to really set forth, you know, the probable cause in support of that search warrant. Why did they arrest Richard Allen? Why did they search his home? I mean, there's got to be something there. Again, we haven't seen it. This is a case that, frankly, in terms of the evidence that's been made public, there's really not a whole lot. So, I mean, I would expect the state and law enforcement to have something. They arrested this guy. A judge signed off on a search warrant. Judge signed off, you know, on an arrest warrant. They got an indictment. Well, whatever the case may be, there had to be probable cause somewhere. So it's time for the state to put those cards on the table and really to tell the judge what they have. It's not really their burden to exclude, you know, these other individuals, but to prove their case. Now, you know, with respect to the discovery issues, I know the defense is saying, listen, you talked to the professor, you didn't like what you heard, you know, and so again, that's evidence that all has to be produced in discovery. Mm-hmm. If they haven't complied with their discovery obligations, again, separate issue, right? If there's any exculpatory evidence, any impeachment evidence, you got to turn that over to the defense. That's just prosecution 101. So I think we're getting a little bit sidetracked and pulled in a couple different directions. But if you're really looking at, it's a question of probable cause, state, prove your probable cause, and then comply with your discovery obligations. That's it. Let's go to trial.
Do you see any anything in the fact that the guards that have been brought up in some of these documents, and we're not going to name names or anything, but the Odinist patches, that was a big thing that they brought up in that the defense document earlier in the month. Now they have removed their Odinist patches by request. Someone has a patch. Lots of people have patches that are into different things. It doesn't mean they're necessarily going down some sort of dark road. Is that just all it is at the end of the day? Is this something where they were wearing these patches? Now these claims came out of, oh, this is some sort of sacrificial cult, although there's never been any evidence of a sacrificial cult with Odin anywhere. Is it them just trying to, you know, do the right thing, not portray themselves as something that they're not?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you have the sacrificial cult, but there's also this sort of tie to white supremacy, right? Yeah. So, you know, if I'm a prosecutor, I mean, the last thing I want is for, you know, my prison guard, my law enforcement, whatever, to have anything to do with any of this. I mean, these are all issues that kind of go down these rabbit holes, right? And if you are trying a case and you want to put someone away for murder, you don't want the defense to put your guards or your officers on trial. You don't want jurors to be asking questions about, you know, what were the real motivations? Yeah, these are public servants. They're supposed to be held to a higher standard. Look, I don't know what these patches are, if it has anything to do with Odinism or white supremacy, but if there's any connection whatsoever, this is the last thing I want if I'm prosecuting this case.
Without a doubt, to have those pieces there, it's not going to make for an easy prosecution. What do you make of the judges, or not the judges, but the prison guards coming out, even making a statement, correctional officers telling prosecutors that they went above and beyond to not use any kind of force against Allen, even though there have been times when the use of force was justified by standard operating procedures? However, they have tasered him twice on May 9th and the 25th. It seems a little bit contradictory to me. If he's good, we're really not doing anything, but we tasered him twice.
Yeah, no, I did read that. Obviously, look, I mean, officers are corrections officers. They're always going to say that the use of force was appropriate. Look, they have a very tough job. I mean, you're managing lots of people who are either convicted felons in prison or they're awaiting trial for many of them for very serious felonies. So, and oftentimes these guards are, you know, unarmed, or they have tasers or these types of things. So it's tough to say what happened. Allen really doesn't have a history of violent crime, although, mm-hmm. I mean, here's someone who's been charged with multiple murders. So it's tough for me to say whether the use of force was appropriate, what he was possibly doing in there that warranted that type of thing. But again, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that someone's said that the use of force was appropriate when it's not. But again, I can't take sides one way or the other until I review the video and the evidence in the case.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.